Morning. How's everyone doing? If you're here, say amen.
Amen.
That's good. Let's go to Job chapter 2 this morning, all right? Job chapter number 2 is where we're going. Job chapter number 2. And I want to direct your attention to verse number 7 and verse number 8. Job chapter 2. Verse number 7 and verse number 8. Let's take a look at it, all right? The Bible says, "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes." This morning we're going to deal with the topic, the blessings from brokenness. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. We pray that you'll bless this time in the Word. Lord, I pray that the principles we shared this morning will encourage these people. We thank you so much for what you've done for us now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Satan left the presence of the Lord, and he did not waste any time in beating up on Job. It's obvious that he enjoyed inflicting pain on this very godly man. By the way, Satan enjoys making your life miserable too. That's why you should not give in to temptation. Satan wants all of us to be sitting among the ashes, just like Job. That's what he wants for us. This most likely was the garbage dump of his day, where debris was burned and where outcasts with diseases would reside. Job was physically afflicted by Satan. In fact, this word smote here that we see, it's a very strong word in the Hebrew language. It's from the word nakah, and it means this. It means to beat, to scourge, to attack, to ravage, wound, punish, or smite with disease. In fact, the word is in what they call the imperfect tense, which means Satan continually pounded and ravaged Job. He smote Job with sore boils that covered his entire body. The general consensus is that Job was afflicted with leprosy, known as elephantitis, named because the rough skin and the swollen limbs are animal-like. In fact, the Hebrew word here for boil can indicate a skin ulcer. Leprosy begins with such symptoms, but other diseases do. Leprosy normally begins in the limbs and it spreads. But Job was afflicted everywhere on his body all at once. It may be some other disease also characterized by a malignant ulcer. The disease that he had required constant attention. Job's disease afflicted him inwardly, giving him a foul breath and a terrible, loathsome smell on his body. Mouthwash wouldn't do any good. Right guard would have worn out pretty quick. Yeah, this was so foreign and humbling to a man who was a wealthy prince among men. Job 19:17 says, "My breath is strange to my wife." The sores on Job's body actually bred worms on his body. The sores opened and ran. They closed and tightened, disfiguring his body and his face. Job 16:8 says, "And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face." His bones were also racked with burning pain and fever, which began to actually rot his skin. He was so disfigured that even little children rejected him. Job 30:30 says, "My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat." 19:18 says, "Yea, young children despised me. I arose and they spake against me." The skin was so disfigured that even his friends did not recognize him. Job 2:12 says, "And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and they wept." Job is in a breaking process. His life is being broken. And I'll tell you what, when you go through times of breaking in your life, it's no fun. You know, when I was at Walmart yesterday, I saw this pot and I thought of Job because, you know, here it's just so beautiful and it's a nice pot and everything. There's nothing wrong with it. By the way, there's nothing wrong with Job. He was a godly man. Godly man. But you know what? He is going through a breaking time in his life. He's being broken. Man, I tell you what. He hasn't done anything wrong. A breaking time in his life. You know, the infection and the pus that covered his body just oozed all the time. And so the Bible tells us here that that pus and that infection had to be scraped away with a piece of broken pottery or potsherd in order to prevent the spread of the infection. The scraping with the broken pottery would also provide some comfort from the itching and enable him to lance the boils on his body. You know, beloved, there are some interesting lessons that we can glean from this broken piece of pottery that Job used. When we look at Job's potsherd, we find lessons about ourselves and what Jesus Christ has done for all who have trusted in Him. Christ takes the sinner, broken by sin, and He makes something wonderful and new in his life. The brokenness of Job's potsherd actually made the pottery new in a way. Not something that was old. You may ask, what do you mean, preacher? What are you talking about? The potsherd, the broken pottery, speaks of newness from brokenness. We find, first of all, it had a new purpose. Its original purpose may have been to hold water or grain or plants. But now that it's broken, it cannot serve that purpose. But it can offer comfort and cleansing by scraping the pus from the wounds of Job's body. And beloved, though broken by sin, Christ makes us new creatures with a new purpose. And that purpose is to glorify Him. No matter what condition our body may be in, we can still lift Him up in our eyes. Though broken, we can provide love and comfort to other people. I've heard people complain, "Well, the Christian life is just so boring." I'm going to tell you what. You start loving people and comforting people, your life won't be boring anymore. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. But wait a minute, there was not only a new purpose, there was a new effectiveness. In a broken state, this was discarded, and it was lying in a garbage dump. Yet in the hands of Job, it became an effective source of comfort when he scraped the wounds on his body. It became useful. It became effective for an unpleasant task. And God does the same with us. Christ can make our lives effective and constructive for doing wonderful things and being a blessing to other people when we are in His hands. But wait a minute. This piece of pottery had something else that was new. It had new limitations. The potsherd, as we said, could no longer hold water. Its brokenness eliminated that function. And you know what? We may have new limitations in our lives from the scars of sin in our life. There may be things that disqualify us from certain leadership positions in a church. But that does not mean that God is done with us. Listen, you may be here this morning and sin has broken your life and you regret what you have done and you wonder, man, God, I'm on the shelf and you can't use me. Man, what am I going to do? I'm miserable. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll yield your life to Him, He'll still use you. I mean, face it, folks. We're in a congregation this morning of broken people. We've all been broken and felt the sting of sin in our life. You know, God is willing to use us for His glory if we are willing to be used. You know, you may be here this morning. You may have not done anything wrong, and maybe your life has been broken by health problems. And you may be suffering from handicaps in your life, of events that taken in your life. But even though you've got handicaps, God can still use you in a great way. You know, something else about this piece of pottery, this broken piece, it had new value. When the pottery was new and whole, it was valuable and perhaps very beautiful. I mean, you saw this bowl this morning. It was a beautiful bowl. But when it was broken, it was basically considered worthless by those who discarded it. Until Job found value in its broken condition. It was valuable to Job because he was hurting. He needed relief. He saw the value in the broken potsherd. And though broken by sin, beloved, Jesus finds value in us. He not only sees what we are, but what we can be and what we will be one day. We are valuable to the Lord. Listen, if you're here this morning, if you're a teenager and just wonder, what in the world does my mom and dad get so excited about the Lord? I just don't get it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something here this morning. You can be used of God if you'll just let the Lord work in your life. You're valuable to Him in your life. Revelation 5:10 says, and He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign with Him on earth. That sounds pretty valuable to me. 1 John 3:2, beloved, And now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Though broken by sin, when we yield ourselves to be a blessing to others, just as that pottery was yielded in the hands of Job, people will find value in you as God uses you to bless their lives. Let me say that the Lord may have to break the Christian to make him useful. Christians today, many of them are powerless and purposeless because of their stubbornness, sinfulness, seductiveness, selfishness, senselessness, shallowness, shamefulness, shiftiness, and snootiness. Their attitudes and actions beckon the breaking of their belligerence in their life. I mean, they're just asking for it. So God does some breaking in their lives to draw them close to him and to make something useful out of their lives. You know, understand, beloved, God does not break us to impair us, but to improve us. As the ore is broken by the miner to get the gold, God breaks us to bring the gold out of our lives. Job was already a golden man, yet the Lord would bring forth more golden traits in his life. In fact, it was Job himself who said in 23:10, he said, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Breaking and affliction are used to bring out the best in us. It was David who said in Psalm 119:67, he says, "Before I was afflicted," breaking, "before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." God drew him to himself. Psalm 119:71 says, "It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." God allows times of trial and breaking in our lives to humble us and to make us teachable. Listen, if you're a little stubborn with the Lord this morning and playing tug of war with him, he may have to break you a little bit so that he can teach you some things. Are you with me right now? Say amen. Not only that, the Lord breaks us to develop future ministries in our life. The insight that God teaches us in broken times become valuable tools in the future in aiding and comforting and counseling other people. You know, when God allows extraordinary trials, he gives extraordinary grace in our life. Many times the thickest clouds, the trials, and the burdens we go through bring the heaviest showers of blessings in our life. Those blessings not only comfort us in the present, they comfort us in the future. God breaks us to change us. Brokenness can change the ordinary Christian and prepare that ordinary Christian for extraordinary service and extraordinary ministry. The broken believer is a revealer of the splendor of God's grace, a mender of broken fellowship with God and others, a defender of the faith and of others, a suspender to those who are weak and falling and needed lifting up. He is an attender to the word and the will of God. He's an extender of God's love and God's grace. And he surrendered to God's leading in his life. God breaks us to bring out the best in us. If you take your problems to the Lord, that's normal. But if you give your problems to the Lord, that's spiritual. And God allows us to be broken in our life so that we will learn to give our burdens to Him. He used broken pitchers of Gideon to bring forth light. He used a broken Moses to bring forth leadership in Israel. He used a broken Joseph to bring forth unconditional love for his brothers. You know, beloved, when we look at our Lord, we find that He did not enjoy the shame and the suffering and the breaking process on the cross. In fact, we are told that the Lord despised what they did to Him. The suffering that He went through was difficult, but He endured the worst that man had to offer. We are here this morning. We are blessed because of His brokenness for us on the cross. At the cross, humanity was given evidence that demands a verdict of God's intense love for mankind. As His only begotten Son was given to mankind, wrapped in human flesh with a white bow of heaven's holiness. At the cross, men are set free from the shackles of sin by the key to the handcuffs of hell that was provided through the blood of Jesus Christ. At the cross, the tsunami of man's sinfulness crashed into the solid rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. The depth of man's wickedness was conquered by the divinity of our Lord. At the cross, the focus of eternity, past, present, and future, was directed to the Son of God, who was nailed on the tree on Mount Calvary and died for the sins of the world. At the cross, the viciousness, the vileness, and violence of man was exposed to its fullest degree, while the compassion, purity, and humility of Christ was displayed for all to see. At the cross, all men are confronted with a fork in their road that will determine their eternal destiny. To choose against Christ is to choose the broad path that leads to destruction. To accept Jesus Christ is to choose the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. At the cross, man's arrogance and God's authority are measured and put on the scale in each person's heart. The arrogance of a man that moves him to exalt his own will above God's authority and commands will act as a boulder that will dip the scale of his life against him and crush his soul for eternity. You don't tell God what you're going to do. Amen. At the cross, the loud rings of the hammer that slammed the iron spikes into the strong hands of Jesus continue to reverberate through the ages to our present day. Each blow of that hammer shouted out to the world for all time, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. At the cross, the Vermilion valleys carved in Christ's body by the vengeance of the scourge, spewed forth a crimson flow like flooded creeks after heavy rains. The scarlet stream that gushed from the spear in our Savior's side was a river that would refresh men's souls and quench their thirst for living day by day and for all eternity. Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. He saw what was down the road. He saw the joy of seeing those putting their faith in him. The suffering of our Lord reminds us that anyone who is a servant of the Lord may suffer on account of him. But God gives us grace to cope with our trials as they come. We need to rely on his help and his care. May we see his blessings when we go through those times of brokenness in our lives. He may have a new purpose for you. He may have a new effectiveness, a new usefulness he's trying to bring out in you. He may have a new value for you. He may be trying to bring the gold out of your life. We need to just praise him when we're sitting among the ashes. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings in my life and for strength when Satan cuts and slashes. Through pain and sorrow, death and strife, I will trust you sitting among the ashes. I've learned that each day should be lived one at a time. Plans presumed can lead to crashes. When my dreams may vanish, help me not sulk and whine. I will praise you sitting among the ashes. Your word teaches all things work for my good, from my birth to my death and the days of my dashes. May the prayer of my heart be seen and understood. I will serve you sitting among the ashes. God help us.
Give that to Brother Rule. He's got some water for it. Bless you.